Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. We are we're going to begin something tonight that is going in a different direction from what we have been doing over the last several weeks. I think about 10 weeks all told, maybe a week or two beyond that, 10 or 12 weeks. We considered the subject of the Word of God itself and what the Bible says about itself. Trying to just go through and everywhere where a verse of Scripture related to the Bible itself and what the Bible is like in the life of a Christian, or what the qualities of the Word of God are. We brought some 10 or 12 messages, and I asked Holly the other night about the possibility of us being able to record through our computer system back there in the media booth in MP3 format. For those of you who know what that is, it gives you the ability to be able to put several messages on one single CD. I think you can get as many as maybe 14 or 15 messages, depending on the length of each one of them, on a standard CD disc. Instead of having one message per CD and having an album full of them, 10 or 12, you would have one CD with all of those messages on it. We're going to try and put that together so that some of our Sunday school teachers can use it as a resource to maybe take it and put it on the level of your age group that you're teaching, and pass it on to them. Maybe you can share it with some friends. Maybe you can keep it in your library and refer to it from time to time. Maybe you weren't here one particular Wednesday night and you missed the message. This way you'd be able to have them all. The disc would be the single price disc that we normally charge for a single message, but you'd be getting extra. We're going to try to do the same thing in regards to the prayer series that we have been conducting for the last probably as many weeks, 10 or 12 weeks. Tonight we're beginning a new series, if the Lord will allow us. We're going to try to go several weeks on the subject of living through faith, living by faith, faith in the Christian life. We sang a lot of songs tonight from the hymn book on purpose that related to that particular subject. They were songs that were unfamiliar to us, but yet in the message, in the verses, we saw the theme of faith developed, and what a blessing it is to be able to put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, we are in what is referred to as the Hall of Fame of faith in the Word of God. As we get further into it, we're going to see several men and women, Old Testament saints, and even beyond, who lived a life of faith, who put faith and trust in God, and as a result, were mightily blessed of the Lord. Tonight, as we look at the first three verses here in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to consider what the inner workings of faith are. What the inner workings of faith are. We're going to try and define what it means to live life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and get down to what really is at the root of faith. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Is that what your Bible says? And it goes on to say, "the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Verse 3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." If you're standing, you can be seated. And I'd like to start the message, or the lesson on the inner workings of faith, by sharing with you that I have read after several different commentators who have attempted to nail down what true faith is, but I don't think really you can appreciate what faith is unless you've experienced it personally. You can't just take the word of another individual. You can't just trust what someone else says in regards to faith. you have to experience it yourself if you're ever going to come to appreciate what faith means to you in your life. But some of the commentators said this in regards to faith. They broke it down in simple terms by saying that faith is trusting God. Faith is depending on the Lord. Faith is living without scheming. And faith is obeying without provision. While defining faith is important, I think, as I said, that it is better for us to experience it personally, and it equips us in a better fashion to live by faith if we're able to see faith in action, if we're able to see it lived out in our life. We're often told that the best teacher is an example, that we learn by following the lead of someone else. We learn best when we can see it done before our very eyes. I have a father, an earthly father, who is a skilled do-it-yourselfer, self-professed do-it-yourselfer. He would rather attempt to do something himself than pay out a few dollars to have someone else who is supposedly an expert or a professional do it for him. He'll look at something like a wash machine that has gone on the fritz, or a TV that has quit working, or a faucet that is leaking, and he'll say, "I believe I can fix that." And he'll make an attempt to try and take the thing apart and get down to the root of the problem and make a repair on it and put it back together to where it is better than it previously was. Oftentimes, as I was growing up, I would watch him repair things like that around the house. You remember one time I told you about the trailer, the camper that he purchased for a minimal amount of money. And when he drug it home, my mom took a look at that. As she saw him coming down the street, she began to shake her head. And as she got closer to it and began to inspect it with her own eyes, she just could not believe that he purchased that trailer, because it was in sad shape. It was a wreck. It was scheduled really for the graveyard. But he saw something in that thing, and he started cleaning it up. And for a long time, he worked by himself in it. Nobody else in the family, poor guy, wanted to have anything to do with it. Didn't want to give him a helping hand, because they all thought there wasn't much use in putting forth effort in the old trailer. Today, that trailer sets out here on the side of the lot. You've been wondering who that is. It looks nothing like it was when he first purchased it. It's still got a long way to go, but it's come a long way as well. It's been rebuilt in a lot of ways. The nose of it was totally tore out when they moved to Kentucky. I had some pity on him, and I said, "Dad, I think maybe you could use a hand there, and I don't know what all I can do, but I'm willing to help a little bit." And so we got in there, and one day we tore the nose out of that thing to where when you're up inside the trailer, you could look out and you could see people passing by. That was the funniest thing, is it was sitting there in my driveway while they was living with us, and it stayed that way for a couple weeks with a blue tarp over it while we continued to work on it as often as we could. Then we moved to the back, and we basically did the same thing. We had to do that because when you got inside, we discovered that the boards, the little 2x2 boards that they put it together with, were rotten from water decay and damage and termite damage, and there wasn't much there but just the metal tin. So when we pulled that back and we saw that, we said, "Oh, we can't cover that back up. That's got to be replaced." And we did it heavy duty wise. We probably added a couple hundred pounds to that trailer for him to pull down the road whenever he has opportunity to, because we used 2x4s instead of 2x2s, and we made it solid. Well, then we did the floor, and it's just, he's got pictures of it, and if you saw the comparison between the now and then, you'd say that's not the same trailer. Growing up, I watched him do several things like that around the house, repair things. One time Brother Jason, he had just a shell that you put on the back of a truck, just cab high, and he had the bright idea that he'd make that thing where instead of having to crawl up in it to get whatever you wanted out of it, he'd make it tall enough where he could stand up. He'd put a full-size door on the back of it, and you could open it up, and you could stand it. Well, it ended up looking just like a huge box on an ice truck or something on a pickup. It was a funny-looking thing. But he was in heaven after he got it done, except for one thing. He didn't calculate, as we built it in the garage, and he did most of the work, that the garage door was a certain height, and the camper ended up being almost nearly that height to where we couldn't pick it up and carry it out and set it back on the truck. We had to get the smallest pipe that you could possibly get, Brother Darrell, and put under that thing and roll it out from, and it just barely cleared the door. In fact, I think we had to take the door trim off the garage at the house there in order to get it out. And others just laughed about that. But he is a self-professed do-it-yourselfer. And oftentimes he would talk about, in his projects at the supper table, he'd talk about the mechanics of something that he was working on. And most of the time the discussion, for those of us in the family, would go in one ear and out the other. It didn't make no sense to us, and we weren't interested, and we just let him talk. But then there were times when he would say, "Hey, I need your help, and I want you to get out here. You can hold the light, or you can hold that end of that board, or you can do this for me, and it'll make it a lot easier for me." And in watching him do those repairs and hearing him explain what he was doing, I seemed to get a better concept of what he was trying to accomplish. I seemed to understand more fully by seeing in action what he was doing. It seemed to make a difference in the things that he was doing. Well, I said that to say this. The author of Hebrews here is kind of doing the same thing. He's taking that approach to a life of faith. Instead of another explanation about what faith is, he now begins showing us how to live through faith by introducing us to many who have successfully lived their lives by faith. And it's kind of like what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." When we can see a living example of something being carried out, when we can see a testimony of some truth of God's Word being exercised in an individual life, then it helps us comprehend and understand more fully how it's possible for that to take place in our lives. In Philippians 4:9, Paul said this, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let me ask you a question tonight. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you could understand in your life personally how it is that faith works? If you could put your finger on a few simple things about how it is that faith works, that'd be a tremendous blessing, wouldn't it? I believe that the Lord might take you to another level in your spirituality, in your walk with Him, if you could get this thing nailed down about the inner workings of faith. And so to better understand how faith works, we're going to consider a few things here tonight. In the first three verses, I want you to see what the components are for a life to demonstrate faith in Jesus Christ. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Out beside that verse, based upon the two things that are recorded there, I wrote in the margin of my Bible, this is faith's core values. These are the core values of what faith is. A core value is really something that is the foundation or the principle or the truth of anything. Here we're told what faith is in verse number 1. Faith is not defined here, but it is described by indicating two things in particular about what faith is. First of all, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance means to support or to stand under, to lift up or to keep lifted up. Core values are what stand under a Christian. The support and the drive and the initiative and the substance that you need in your life in order to sustain yourself in the Christian life is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. A company, a corporation, a Boy Scout organization, a church, and even an individual ought to understand what their core values are. You go to the hospital and oftentimes you'll see posted in the entryway there where you walk in a framed portrait on the wall with some words on it. This is our mission, or these are our core values. This is what we believe, and this is what holds us up. This is what supports us and what drives us as a company or an organization. Well, in verse 1, we see what drives a life of faith, what supports true faith and makes it worth living. First of all, I believe it's told to us there that a hope in God's promises is what supports a life of faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. True Bible faith is being confident in God's Word, being confident and obedient to what He says in His Word to us, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the consequences, in spite of what's going on in our life. We believe and are confident that God's Word can be trusted, no matter what. I'll tell you what, that should be a great encouragement to those of us who are Christians tonight living in the kind of world that we're living in. When you look at the upheaval, when you look at the unstable situation that our world is in, when you see the way our economy is, when you see the way we're being stretched militarily, when you see all kinds of things just disintegrating before our very eyes, things that we used to think were rock solid are being destroyed. The only thing that we can truly depend upon and have hope in is God's Word, the promises that He gives us in His Word. Faith is supposed to operate in a simple manner in a Christian's life. You say, okay, give me some steps. Step number one, God speaks. And we hear Him. Amen? God speaks and we're tuned in. God speaks and we don't hear confusion, but we hear Him plainly. And then step number three, God speaks. Secondly, we hear. And thirdly, we trust. We believe that what He says is necessary. And fourthly, we act. Yes, sir. By a volition of our own will, we step out in faith and we follow where God is leading. Faith then is the living hope that no matter what happens, as long as I'm following God's principles, as long as I'm being obedient to His commands, He will work all things together for good in my life. No matter how difficult things are, faith is a confident hope in the God of the Bible. And that's why we took so many weeks to share with you what God's Word is, how precious it is to us in our life. The Bible tells us what we need to know. It is a roadmap. It's a recipe book. It's a counseling book for our family and for rearing our children and for whatever else comes along in life. And so we can have hope in God's promises. In Psalms chapter 1, the first three verses, listen to what the Word of God says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How many of you have flower beds around your house? You have landscaping and areas where you've planted some things, and as spring has sprung, those things begin to come up out of the ground, or they begin to turn green once again, and they bloomed. But the bloom didn't last very long, did it? On the daylilies, they were short-lived, and then they turned brown, and the head folded itself over and under. And there's still a green stem there, but the white lily or the yellow lily is now gone in a lot of places. Other things are beginning to bloom, but they'll be short-lived too. But the Bible says for those who are planted in the Word of God, those who meditate day and night in God's Word, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You'll be like an evergreen tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatever you do will prosper. Christians who don't know faith, who are not practicing faith, have yet to plant themselves in the rivers of God's Word. There is a life-giving flow in this book that will sustain us through every circumstance and situation in life. By the way, It is only the Word of God that will enable to live, help you live a life of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul said it this way in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So one of faith's core values is that there is a hope in God's promises. D.L. Moody said in his memoir, "I prayed for faith and thought that it would strike me like lightning, but faith did not come. Then one day I read that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and so I closed my Bible and I prayed for faith." He said, "From then on I began to study my Bible, and faith has been growing ever since." Faith comes in God's promises. Faith comes as a result of reading God's Word. That's a core value. The second thing noticed here in verse number one is an honor to God's path. In the last part of the verse it says, "the evidence of things not seen." That's the way faith is described, as a future, as a destination, as something still yet to come. Faith in God will keep its eye on what lies ahead. It won't look at the present, and it won't even look back. It looks on what lies ahead. Amen? Faith sees what is unseen. It has a forward motion to the Christian walk. That is, we will follow the path that God has laid out for us in His Word. In Psalm chapter 1, in that same set of verses there, it goes on to say, "The ungodly are not like the godly, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." In Proverbs we're told this, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Can I say this as kindly as I possibly can say it? I believe that there are a lot of Christians who want to continue on their path, follow their agenda, map out their life, and have the blessings of God in their life and the reward of living a life of faith. But friends, you can't have both. You can't do it your way and expect God to reward and bless your life. The only way is to trust and obey, to follow His leading, and to honor His path that He lays out for our lives. Faith is a complete trust in God and the way that He would have us to go. Faith isn't looking for our own way, but fully committing to live life God's way. So many people get frustrated and say, "I just don't know why God's not blessing me." Try it His way and see what happens. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Faith realizes that God can only bless then someone who is obedient. Well, you say, "Well, it's working out for me and I'm not really that obedient. I've got a job, I've got a home, I've got food in my cupboard, I've got a family, everything seems to be okay." Listen, the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust for a while. But there is a day coming when recompense will be given out by the Lord. He will repay. You may have sun and rain, but maybe you're lacking the peace and the joy that only comes by someone who walks in step with the Lord by faith. Faith in God at its core value honors the way of God with obedience and faithfulness. The second thing I want you to see tonight is this. In verse number 2, we see the contented reward to faith. The contented reward to faith. Hope in God's promises and honoring God's pathway will reward a person of faith with something in particular. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." There is a reward for those who live by faith. It is a good report. The "it" is faith there in verse number 2. You may want to write that out beside the verse there. "For by it," by faith, "the elders obtained a good report." But what was their faith in? Was it in faith itself? No. Maybe we shouldn't ask what was their faith in, but who was their faith in? It's not so much what your faith is in as who is it in. Amen? Our faith is in the Lord. Our faith is in God. Our faith is in Christ. It's in a person. Amen? We don't just trust in the what, but we trust in the who. I believe that more Christians fail to live through faith because of a lack of contentment in Christ and who He is, and because they're heavily attracted by the riches of this world. It keeps them from getting in step with the Lord Jesus Christ. What our eye sees often affects the way we live. And we see so much around us physically, and the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the love of this world draws many away from having true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Our faith is in God. Our faith is not in material things. Our faith is not in a present system that is in place in this world. Our faith is in God. And that is going to be our reward if we keep our faith in God. The Bible says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So what are we to find ourselves contented in? First of all, I believe it should be in a committed walk. Notice that the Bible says here in verse 2 that for by it the elders obtained a good report. An elder is someone who has practiced their faith for many years, who has lived it out day by day. Their entire life has been a life of faith. An elder is someone who is older, someone who is a senior in the company, someone who has some age or some longevity in their life. And so here we see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 2 that it says we ought to have a committed walk. We ought to stay with it. We ought not to be short-lived. It ought not to be something that we just try out for a while and then cast aside. But we ought to be in it for the long haul. Amen? Committed in our walk of faith with the Lord. How many times do you see someone profess to make a decision for Christ only to fall by the wayside? Not to get settled in. Not to get the assurance and the security of the believer. And as a result, the least little thing blows them off the path that God has intended for them to walk on. You say, did they lose their salvation? I don't know about that. I struggle with that. When I look at someone like that, I say, were they even saved in the first place? And I know it ain't for me to judge. Maybe they genuinely were, and maybe the devil just stole that seed away. I'm not saying they lost their salvation. You can't lose your salvation. But somewhere along the line, they didn't get something that they should have. Maybe it's on our end that we drop the ball and don't stay with them and don't encourage them to take that step of faith and be committed in their walk to the Lord. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it's something that needs to be dealt with. It's something that people struggle with. We need to be committed in our walk with the Lord. The inner workings of real, true, and committed faith in Christ has a character of contentment. And that is in being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ that you realize that. Not in this flesh, but in Him and who He is. In His faithfulness, in His dependability. Moses could have had anything in life, but he found contentment in simply serving the Lord, in being faithful to Him. You remember that Moses, when he was born, was taken and hidden because the law was that all newborn males be killed. But his mama knew that God had a call upon his life. And so she wanted to spare him, and she took him and put him in a basket that someone had made and took him down by the river's edge there and put him in that basket. And providence would have it that he would end up in the presence of Pharaoh's daughter, I believe, or wife, or whoever it was. And she saw the basket there with the infant child in it, and she scooped it up and took it back. And Moses was raised in Pharaoh's court. He had the finest that life could offer. But the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24, something interesting. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. For all practical purposes, that was the only mother he knew, except for the ones who were caring for him. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He was committed in his walk with the Lord and refused to trust in earthly things and he looked forward to what God had in store for him. You can live your entire life through faith in commitment to the Lord if you want to, if you desire to, just like Moses chose to do so with a committed walk. Secondly, we see there a continual testimony. The character of faith begins with a contented walk, but it is carried out continually by the way that we testify of God's grace in our life. And that testimony is being content in Christ. Faith has a goal, and that goal is to maintain a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer and through Scripture reading. One day, we're going to stand before the Lord, the Bible says, and give an account for our life and the deeds that we've done in this body. Not for the sins of our past before we met the Lord. Thank God we've been forgiven of those. But any deed that we've done in this body as a child of God, we're going to have to give an account. It's going to be graded. Just like report cards are handed out in school. There are midterm grades and there are final report cards that are issued throughout the school year. And a lot of times when you get a midterm grade, you think, well, I'm doing okay, only to discover that when you get to the end, something changed. Maybe you got lax. Maybe you dropped the ball. Maybe you quit studying. Maybe you quit turning in the assignments. Maybe you quit being diligent to the studies of whatever you're in. And the same thing can happen in the Christian life. If we don't continually testify of God's work in our life, if we don't continually see Him doing things by His grace in our lives, and testify of those things, then when we get to the end, we might just get a bad report. And I don't want that to happen. I'd rather hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. A plus, my child. Welcome in to the joy of the Lord. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What we need to see in the life of a believer is faithfulness. Really, that's all God requires, is that we be found faithful. The Lord is faithful, and He will establish you, we're told, and keep us from evil. So we see faith's contentment, faith's satisfaction, in knowing that we commit our walk to the Lord and we continually testify of His grace in our life. The third thing I want you to see here is found in verse 3, and it is the confident vision of faith. The confident vision of faith. Look again at verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I love that verse. I don't know if you can grasp fully what the Bible is talking about here, but just read it over and over again when you have opportunity to later on this evening. Maybe use it as a starting point for your devotion tomorrow or the rest of the week. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You say, oh, come on, preacher. You don't really believe that God spoke it and it came about. I sure do. Why do you believe that? Because the Bible says so. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But what about the Big Bang theory? Yes, God spoke and bang, it happened. What about that six-day interlude or that period of time where God was silent? No, I believe it happened just like the Word of God records in the book of Genesis in chapter 1. Each day He spoke something into existence and it came about. The confident vision of faith is just that, that we believe the future will happen just as the present is happening. Just as we are going through it right now, the future is going to occur. We believe that. We're confident. We have that sort of vision by faith, that because the world was framed by the Word of God, and He goes on to say, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You say, I don't understand that. That makes me scratch my head. Faith doesn't always have to see physically what's going to happen. We just have to know what God said in regards to what's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
There is going to come a rapture. There is going to be a second appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is going to be a new heaven and a new earth created. This world is going to pass away. You say, I wish I could see that, and then I'd believe it. Trust by faith, and you will see it. Believe, and you'll receive. Faith has a confident vision. Let me tell you what faith will do. It'll open your eyes to what you cannot see naturally. And that's why the Christian life is such a struggle for so many people. If they can't see it, then they're not willing to take that step. A person who is lost, if they can't see how God could possibly save their soul, then they'll never take that step of faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll prevent them from doing that. J. Oswald Sanders said, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Remember what faith's core values were? Hope in God's promises and honor to God's pathway? Well, biblical faith has a character of contentment. And if you'll just walk committed to the Lord while maintaining a continual testimony, then your vision will be confident in faith toward God. You'll be able to realize that sooner than you expect, God will bring it to pass. When you look under the hood of a car, going back to the illustration of my father in the self-professed do-it-yourselfer, more than anything, he hates to take his vehicle to a mechanic shop because of the price that they charge. And so, for many years, he's worked on his own vehicles. It's at the point now where basically you can't do that unless you've had some previous experience in a garage or a shop with all the computer elements and things. But most of us know that when you look under the hood of a car, you're going to expect to find a few things that are necessary. Number one, you're going to find an engine block. If you don't find an engine block, you're not going very far. You're also going to find a battery. Even the women that are here tonight know that there's supposed to be a battery under the hood. Amen, ladies? Without a battery, you're not going to go very far. Most of us know that underneath that hood, there's a radiator. And that's where the antifreeze goes. That keeps the engine cool. And that makes your heat work properly in the wintertime. If you don't have a radiator, you're in trouble. Your engine's going to overheat. You know that there's an alternator under the hood there, a starter that charges the system of your car. And if any of those things are missing, your car is not going to run very efficiently. Well, the same is true in the Christian life. If you're missing this thing of a confident vision for your life, if you can't see that God has some things in store for you ahead that maybe physically your eyes don't see, but spiritually, mentally, you know they're possible. You know they're coming because it's recorded in God's Word. If you can't have that kind of confident vision in your life, then your faith's not going to run very effectively, very efficiently. You're going to sputter. You're going to stall. You're going to have to pull over beside the road, and you'll be broke down for a period of time in your Christian life. But it's good when you can get to the place where you understand the inner workings of faith. And you can say with the Apostle Paul, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. A lot of us here have been saved for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, some 50. There may be even some people here tonight that have been saved longer than that. And your Christian life at this point has grown to the place where it's a lot different than it was when you first met the Lord. And even still, without a clear, confident vision, you can doubt that God's going to bring you to the expected end that He promised in the very beginning when He saved you. The inner workings of faith says you can get beyond that, and there can be confidence in knowing that God will bring it to pass. What does faith allow us to see? Faith allows us to see our Creator. We know that there's a God. We haven't seen Him physically with these eyes yet, but just the same, we know He's there. There are people in this world who don't have faith, Bible faith, and they can't see that there's a God. I heard the testimony of a young man. Just tonight I heard this testimony. Young man, 15, 14, 15, 16 years old possibly, who says, I don't believe there's a God, and I can prove that there's not. There's a young man who doesn't have faith, Bible faith, and doesn't understand what faith will accomplish in the life of someone who follows God. The person who told me that, I said, you know what the Bible says about someone who says there is no God? In Psalm 14:1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's a dangerous thing to call someone a fool, but the Bible says a person who doesn't believe God is a fool.
Yes, sir.
And that person's not going to get very far in life if they never come to the place where they see that there is a God. And they come to terms with what He done for them. So we understand our Creator. We understand that we've been created for a purpose, that God saved us to serve Him, to bring glory to His name. Our purpose is to live for Him, to share the gospel, the good news with other folks, and to do good works unto His name, to serve others, to love them as Christ loves us. We understand not only our Creator, but we understand our circumstances. People are all tore out of frame, bent out of shape, messed up, and they stew and fret today about what's going to happen tomorrow. Why do that? Tomorrow may never come. And so you've wasted a lot of worry on nothing. And if it does come, you'll worry over what you worried about today, and so you'll have worried twice. It's not worth it. When a person is clearly confident of the vision of what God is going to do in your life and in this world, then we understand our circumstances. And we see that trials and difficulties and problems are only temporary. And here's what I'd like to say about those things in the life of a believer. I've been learning this. I'm not fully there yet. But I've come to realize that those difficult things that we encounter in life, even God has His hand in them. Even God intends to do something in regards to our purpose in this life through those things. Suppose there's a difficult person in your life, maybe on the job, maybe in your family, and they just get on your nerve all the time. They just wear you out. They just seem to butt heads with you, and you can't make any progress with them. You say, I wish I'd never known that person. Why don't you try doing it this way? When you see them tomorrow, the next time you're with them, why don't you look at them in this light? God put you in my path to teach me something that will help me in my walk of faith. And I'm just going to try and stay in tune with Him so that I can learn that lesson and go on from here. Be a lot better off. That's seeing a vision and being confident that God will use all things to work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Faith trusts God even through the difficult trials of life. Does your faith possess all the important parts? Is everything there? You say, no, I'm missing a few things. It's those core values. Hoping in the promises of God. Understanding that there is a pathway that God has prepared, and I want to honor that in my life. The reward of being content in knowing that, and even though I can't see the way, God has it all laid out for me. And the vision is clouded possibly, but I want God to clear it up so that I can see the way that He wants me to go. That's the inner workings of faith. I hope that's helped someone tonight like it's helped me. As we get further into Hebrews chapter 11, we'll see some of these individuals named who understood the inner workings of faith and what God was able to do in their life.